Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Grenville Strategic Royalties' second quarter 2016 financial results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. If anyone has difficulties hearing the conference, you may press star zero for operator assistance at any time. I would like to remind everyone that today's discussions may contain forward-looking statements that reflect current views with respect to future events. Any such statements are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those projected in the forward-looking statements. For more information on Grenville's risks and uncertainties related to these forward-looking statements, please refer to the company's Management Information Circular dated May 12, 2016, which is available on SEDAR. Today's call is being recorded on August 30th, 2016. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Steve Perry, Chief Executive Officer of Grenville Strategic Royalty. Please go ahead, Mr. Perry.
Good morning, and thank you for participating in today's call. I am joined today by Donica Rao, our Chief Financial Officer. Yesterday evening, we released our second quarter financial results, which can be found on our website at grenvillesrc.com. We continue to make progress on the plan outlined during the Q1 call. We extracted additional value from the portfolio during the quarter. We are streamlining the business by reducing operating expenses to a sustainable level. And we have identified new investment opportunities that meet the investment criteria and strategy we laid out in the Q1 call. The first element of our strategy is to ensure we are harvesting value from the existing portfolio. One of the advantages of our capital is the flexibility that we provide to investees, supporting their growth and providing the ability to monetize the value in their business independently. Unlike traditional debt structures, our royalty contracts generate additional royalties when revenues grow beyond investee revenues at the time of our initial investment. This allows us to extend some flexibility to investees experiencing short-term cash flow issues, a fundamentally different outcome to the loan loss provision seen in debt portfolios. One of our strategic decisions last quarter was to invest more time from our team on our top performers, where potential exists to increase the revenue base. Let me provide an example. Over the past 12 months, publicly listed Blue Drop Performance Learning has announced a number of very positive revenue and financing events, including the pay down of existing debt. During Q2, Blue Drop negotiated an amendment to their contract to allow more flexibility in their contract buyout timing in exchange for higher royalty payments for the next 11 months. This is a great example of extracting additional value from our existing investments. We are also working to extract additional value from the portfolio by remediating royalty contracts where investees are currently unable to meet some or all of their royalty obligations. We have made progress on this metric and expect to bring some of our investees back up to current status in the current and coming months. I should say in the coming months. The second element of our strategy was reducing our operating expenses to a more sustainable level. During Q2, we determined that the business can operate effectively in a range of $2.4 to $3 million per year, which is significantly less than the run rate we were operating at in late 2015, and that's in the $200,000 to $250,000 per month range. We are convinced we have the right structure to accomplish this target on an ongoing basis. The third element of our strategy is identifying new investment opportunities where our capital and expertise can provide the greatest return to shareholders. Specifically, we've identified new opportunities in higher growth tech and industrial tech companies that meet our investment criteria. We expect to return to our long-term deployment rate of 1 to 3 investments per month. These three strategies are designed to support our goal of dividend sustainability based solely on royalty revenues. We want to emphasize this is a corporate objective. It is not a financial imperative, provided we continue to generate free cash flow from contract buyouts. Let me expand on this point. In order to grow cash flows to sustain the existing dividend on a royalty-only basis, we believe that we will need more capital. Multiple alternatives exist to access new capital. At this point, we can acquire that capital either through cash flow, including future buyouts, or through the use of senior debt. We do not envision accessing the public markets for equity at this stage, given the relatively high cost of that form of capital at our current share price. Contract buyouts represent the cheapest form of capital for growth. We believe there are a number of existing investments in the above target category that may represent contract buyout opportunities in the next few quarters. We estimate that the potential gross amount that could be received from these contract buyouts is up to $9 million, which, if realized in the amounts we believe are possible, would significantly increase adjusted EBITDA by up to $5 million and free cash flow by up to $3.7 million. However, it is challenging to devise a plan that depends solely on contract buyouts to drive increased cash flow, given the nature of contract buyouts, their timing, and their value being somewhat uncertain. Realistically, the estimates I referenced may be either higher or lower than projected here. With that in mind, we have completed sufficient research and testing to believe we can raise senior debt at a reasonable cost. Using cash flow for new investment and accessing senior debt are both negatively impacted by the dividend. They rely on the same cash for funding. As part of our plan moving forward and the monthly deliberation of the dividend policy, the board will need to consider whether it is more appropriate to continue funding the dividend with a yield similar to the cost of senior debt, waiting for free cash flow from buyouts, or address the level of the dividend in favor of faster growth for new investments. The board will continue to evaluate this important strategic decision each month. And I want to reemphasize the point that that's a strategic conversation rather than a financial imperative conversation relative to sustainability. The business made significant progress during Q2, and we have a high level of confidence that we possess the tools to deliver, strong shareholder returns. With that, I'll turn the call over to Donica to review our financial results. Donica?
Thank you, Steve. Royalty payment and interest income was flat at $2.1 million in Q2 2016 compared to the same period in 2015. Royalty payment income is the primary driver of revenue. In Q2, revenue was $1.3 million compared to $1.8 million in the same period last year. Revenue was impacted by non-cash unrealized losses of $806,000, which consisted of $611,000 related to an unrealized loss from the change in fair value of royalty agreements acquired and promissory notes receivable, and $195,000 of unrealized foreign exchange loss. As we outlined at the time of the Q1 call, the unrealized loss from the change in fair value of the portfolio decreased significantly in Q2. Based on information available as of today, we do not expect any further material unrealized losses on the investments in Q3. Total operating expenses were $1.7 million in Q2 2016 compared to $672,000 for the same period last year. The change is primarily due to the increased salary and benefits costs related to the departure of the former CEO, as well as a new managing director and an additional investment team member. As Steve outlined, we estimate operating expenses to run between $2.4 million and $3 million on an annual basis going forward, or $200,000 or $250,000 on a monthly basis. We recorded adjusted EBITDA of $508,000 in Q2 2016 compared to $1.5 million in the same period last year. The change was primarily due to the increased operating expenses mentioned above. Free cash flow was $340,000 in Q2 2016 compared to $777,000 in the same period last year. The change was primarily due to short-term timing differences, in particular $250,000 of royalty payments due at June 30, 2016 that were paid subsequent to the end of the period. During Q2 2016, we made aggregate payments of $1.68 million in dividends. From July 1 to August 29, 2016, we have made $884,000 in dividend payments. Average royalty payment per million invested was $164,000 for the month of June 2016, which is within the range we guided towards on the Q1 call. The rolling 12-month average royalty payment per million invested, including buyouts, was $337,000 for the period ended June 30, 2016. Both of these measures focus on the monthly performance of the portfolio. Looking longer term, our portfolio IRR since inception was stable at 21% for Q2 compared to 23% reported for Q1. We estimate monthly royalty payment income and interest earnings to total $1.43 million for July and August 2016. The higher run rate for Q3 is due to the amendment to the Blue Trop contract and increased payments from the above target investments. As at June 30, 2016, the loans and royalty agreements acquired were $63.3 million, an increase from $25.5 million at the same point in 2015. Working capital was $12.6 million, and our cash position was $7.5 million. I'll now turn it back to Steve for his closing thoughts.
Thanks, Danica. Since our inception, we've invested $63 million and have generated $29.9 million of cash inflows consisting of contract buyouts, royalty payment income, and interest income with a lifetime portfolio IRR of 21%. That level of return speaks to why we are so bullish on our business model. The flexible approach to payments relative to traditional debt continues to generate exceptional returns. We continue to see considerable growth in the medium to long term for our royalty-based financing products as SMEs search for growth capital alternatives to traditional equity or debt. The core holdings within our portfolio continue to provide robust returns even during the recent period of market instability in the SME space. 80% of our investment portfolio has generated returns equal to or in excess of our 25% pricing level as of the end of Q2. We moved $2.5 million into the above target category during Q2 and only $1.5 million into the below target category. As of June 30th, the portfolio performance consists of 21% bought out, 11% above target, 48% on target, 17% off target, and 3% recorded as loss. We have a proven business model that demonstrates the value in using a 12.5% to 14% cost of capital to arbitrage investments at a 25% pricing level, which is unique in the royalty industry. We continue to manage our investments, working with management teams to strengthen their financial position and achieve their growth objectives. A great deal of our value proposition to portfolio companies is to help them achieve the next stage of their growth, and we are actively engaged in doing that with some of our best companies today. At the same time, we have also reduced our cost structure internally. I would like to thank our shareholders for the commitment and patience they've demonstrated as we execute this strategy. At this time, we would now like to take your questions. Operator?
Certainly. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press the pound key. Your first question comes from the line of David Quesada with Raymond James. Your line is open.
Okay, thanks. Morning, guys. My first question, just on the future growth opportunities you guys are looking at, will there be any changes, I guess, to your strategy or the structure of the investments or the due diligence process going forward? And I guess I'm just wondering how they'll differ from ones you've done in the past, if at all.
Our strategy in terms of selection of companies has changed, I would say, fairly markedly by the addition of the work that Dr. Annie Terrio had done with us in the first few months of the year. We're really focused now more on companies that are out of the, let's call it the bricks and mortar space, and more on companies with a tech or industrial tech focus. We're doing that because they show better returns than the companies in our portfolio that don't have that signature. So this is simply using the 75 investments in 31 companies to refocus our money in the places where we seem to do the best. If you look at our contract buyouts, there's an almost one-to-one correlation with this refocus on that sector. So we think it's a way to significantly enhance the business. In terms of due diligence, we're constantly working on our investment criteria and our underwriting process, and that has been a huge focus during the first half of this year. Frankly, one of the reasons why we've taken a little time to rework some systems and work towards a more effective program moving forward. We think we've done a lot of good work in that area in the last several months.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's helpful. And then I guess just in terms of what you're seeing in the SME space overall, I know around the time of first quarter, there had been it was going through a rough patch. Would you say that things have stabilized there somewhat? Is the outlook better?
Yeah, we're seeing some better tailwinds behind some companies. In particular, it looks like Canada has started to see a bit of a turnaround in terms of companies that were affected by the by oil price. So at $46, some of those companies are seeming to do better, and so there's I would say modest sign of improvement. Probably more importantly, we're seeing enhanced deal flow. Our number of deals per month has risen dramatically again due to this refocus. I believe our August total was in the order of 71 deals in the door, which is a all-time record for us, and gives you a sense that this new focus is in fact generating a good portfolio of investments to look at, a good pipeline of investments to look at, and we think that's why we return to our 1 to 3 deal per month investment rate moving forward.
Okay, great. And then my last question, just I guess kind of a modeling question. On the last call, you mentioned a range of 160,000 to 180,000 per million invested, and you were within that range this quarter. Is that a reasonable range going forward?
Yes, yes, that will be a reasonable range going forward.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. That's all I had. I'll turn it over.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Trevor Johnson with National Bank. Your line is open.
Hey, good morning.
Morning, Trevor.
Good morning, Trevor.
You mentioned just looking at some debt opportunities out there to finance the growth going forward. Just curious if you could talk about maybe what leverage ratios you would be comfortable with, maybe including the convert in that calculation. And then what type of covenants do you, just from your due diligence, do you think could be applied to the credit?
On the first point, we really haven't settled on a proper debt equity ratio. So I don't really want to quote a number for you today, Trevor. This is on conversation with the board, and we have more work to do on that subject. We know it's available. The types of debt structures that seem available are what I would call traditional mezzanine loans, which typically do have what I would term modest liquidity and liquidity covenants. And so this is where there is some competition for dollars with dividends. That's why we made those comments in the introduction.
And I know it's probably tough to put an exact timeline on it, but do you think we would have an idea about the, kind of the capital structure going forward by the end of the year?
My expectation is yes.
Okay.
This is
And
a
you mentioned,
two-quarter effort.
sorry.
This is a two-quarter effort, I would say, to
Okay.
understand that piece of our puzzle.
Gotcha. And I think you mentioned the cost on the debt would be comparable to what you're seeing on the cost of the equity today. Do your lenders look at your, like, how would the lenders treat your convert? Do they kind of incorporate that in terms of your debt calc? Do you find, just again, I know it's early stage, but preliminary, how do they treat that $17.5 million?
Most treated as debt.
As debt? Okay. Thanks. The eight, just under 900 grand deferred until September 30th that you mentioned, that's above and beyond kind of in your accounts receivable. Is that with one partner? And can you just talk about the repayment opportunity there as that problem evolves?
Yeah, it's more than one investment. We would have a strong belief that at least one of those investments will have paid that by the end of the year. The other one, it's still uncertain as to when that balance will be paid,
Okay. And
and
then
how it would be paid.
You mentioned that I think that there was about 250,000 collected from the less than 30 and 31 to 60 days. Are some of those partners that have repaid that component also on the hook for that 900,000? I.e., have we already seen kind of these partners get back into repayment modes subsequent to
No,
quarter end?
just to clarify, Trevor, the 250,000 is separate from the deferred royalty. That 250 was just some short-term timing differences. People who paid their royalty for June just in the first few days in July and the first few weeks in July. So there's no connection between the investees who have a deferred royalty payment and the ones who paid the 250,000.
Really, that's the July 1st, July 4th weekend.
Correct.
People effectively getting their payment in after the weekend.
Correct.
Yeah, just catching up there. That's just normal course almost.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And then last one, you mentioned you went through some math in terms of potential buyout scenarios, and I think you cited the number $9 million. If I look at your above target bucket, it's closer to, I think, $7 million. So you can just walk me through maybe the delta on that and what you're thinking. I'm presuming that maybe it's you think you can sell obviously some of these for a gain. I'm just curious what the math is there.
Yeah, the contract buyouts are generally above the investment amount.
Yeah.
And so those numbers are, that's why you get the bigger numbers.
And that's anything up to 2x, I mean, as we've mentioned before.
Yeah. So I guess what I'm trying to get at, if I look at that bucket of $7 million, that's above or greater than $7 million above target, how much of that would constitute the $9 million that you suggested in your math?
Well, most of it.
Most of it, okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
What tends to happen when companies are in the above target, they're probably paying above the minimum, and they're probably experiencing an ability to raise capital at lower cost than our capital.
Okay.
And therefore, we know that one of two things will happen. Either we'll get paid more than our minimum, be above the 25%, or they'll buy us out. And those companies we immediately have conversations with when we see that characteristic happening. And almost universally, people start to have conversations with us about what might be done in terms of a buyout down the road. The Blue Drop conversation was kind of like that. They had a, you know, they had some really great results, and it's obviously a good time for them to structure, to have more flexibility around their buyout in the future.
And Trevor, I'd just like to add, I mean, when we look at our categorization for above target, that would include investments which have a high buyout potential. And secondly, these buyouts that we were referring to, these are active buyouts. These are things that actions have
In
been taken
conversations.
and in conversations that have taken place.
Okay. No, I appreciate the color, gentlemen. Thank you.
Yep. We felt that it was important to let people know that there is, you know, give some forward guidance that is the nature of the portfolio. It feels to us similar to what the last half of 2015 felt like.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I'm sure that there are no further questions at this time. I turn the call back over to Mr. Perry.
Well, thank you all for participating today. I know this has been a little bit lower news quarter for us, and it's really related to the fact that we're doing the somewhat unglamorous work of you know, working on companies and making sure that we have our portfolio generating the most capital for the shareholders that can. That work's going to continue in the quarter, and again, we do see a reintroduction of a fairly regular series of investments as we move forward. Thanks so much for all of your time, and we look forward to talking further.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.